Pádraig, thank you. 20 to 8. We're going to Gaza again next, where another 73 people were killed by Israeli strikes yesterday, according to a variety of news agencies. Gaza's health ministry say two more people died from malnutrition, bringing their death toll from starvation to 227 people, including more than 100 children. Australia, Canada, Japan, Britain and 23 European allies say the humanitarian crisis in Gaza has reached what they've called unimaginable levels, and called on Israel to allow more aid into the territory. Germany and Hungary didn't sign the statement. Dr. Mohamed Fadlala is Medical Activities Manager for Médecins Sans Frontières in Gaza. He's in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza this morning. Dr. Fadlala, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.
I'm happy to be here.
Can you tell us about conditions where you are?
The conditions are extremely difficult for us here in the hospital, for all the hospitals around us, and for the society as a whole. People have been starved, as is well documented and known, for the last 5-6 months. So everybody's malnourished. The hospitals are overwhelmed with the injured, intentionally injured, gunshots, shelling, burns. Supplies are difficult. Human resources are limited. So the situation is extremely dire.
Tell us about your typical day at work at the moment.
So we come in. So I'm the medical activity manager of a surgical trauma hospital. So that's pretty much all the patients that we see are here as a result of being shot, being exploded, being attacked. So we come in to a very full hospital, almost always over capacity. We do our round in the morning with the general surgeons, the plastic surgeons, and the orthopedic surgeons. And then the surgeons start working in the operating theater. Throughout the day, we're taking care of all the patients in our inpatient ward while emergency room patients are coming in. Whether there's a mass casualty incident around us or not, the influx of patients is daily. And then we have our outpatient clinic, who is seeing all our follow-ups from all our surgeries. So it's an extremely busy center, very overwhelmed. And the staff is putting in a titanic effort, given that the Palestinian staff are not separate from the context that everybody here is living in. So even our staff is working under these unspeakable conditions.
Are there many hospitals like yours that are still operating at the moment?
There's certainly not many, and absolutely not enough. The needs of the population, the healthcare needs of the population, whether it be surgical, whether it be non-surgical, pediatric, far, far, far exceed what the capacity is for the medical setups here to manage for everybody across the board. So whether it's a lot or a little, there is not enough by any means.
What food do you personally have access to?
I mean, more or less what's available in the markets. So, I think everybody is subsisting on the same things. It's a diet heavily composed of breads, rice, macaronis, very little protein. People here haven't eaten meat in months, and that's not an exaggeration. People haven't eaten an egg in months. There's barely any milk in the markets, so people haven't drank milk in months, even children. Beans, lentils, but the very basics. But the diet is certainly not balanced, and it's certainly devoid of protein, which is incredibly necessary, especially for the patients that we see trying to heal from surgical wounds.
How are you able to keep going?
It's easy for people who come from overseas, but I don't know the answer to how my Palestinian colleagues keep going. I mean, they've been at it since day one of the war. This is 2 years almost of daily working. Their family is hungry. Their family is people dying. Their families are being displaced, yet they're coming to work every day to try to make other people's lives better without fuel in the tank, without security in their home. Without these basic foundational fundamentals that we all rely on to get us through day after day, they're doing without, yet somehow every day the workday starts, everybody's here on time, and everybody's working. They come for their 8, 12, 24-hour shifts, and they do it day after day.
You're in Deir al-Balah in the center of Gaza, which had gone through a period of being relatively quiet, or at least relatively unscathed. What's happening there now?
So, like you said, the central area, Deir al-Balah in particular, has gone more or less, relatively unscathed until about a couple weeks ago, when there was the ground offensive that we had here, and it caused a lot of turmoil here in the area with tons of displacement. You saw a lot of new tents and stuff being placed. We saw some buildings kind of get exploded around us. That ground offensive seemingly has let up in the last week. But everything is interconnected. You know, I think, that this idea that Gaza is not so big, you know, from top to bottom is only, you know, a few kilometers. It's everything is interconnected. So even if there's attacks in the north or attacks in the south, the displacement happens to the center. So it's extremely crowded here. It's extremely extremely difficult everywhere.
And what are people there expecting to happen? Are they expecting to be moved on again?
You know, nothing, nothing is outside of expectation right now except peace. People expect to be displaced. You know, I have many staff who've been displaced 5, 6, 9, even more than that times since the war started. They've gone through repeated attacks and then areas that weren't attacked. You know, everything's expected except the thing that I think people are losing faith in is us in the West. My country, America, you know, all these countries that are sitting kind of idly while the people here suffer. I think the people here are losing faith in their fellow man.
Do you have faith that this will end soon?
I don't have any reason to think it will. Nothing my country, I'm from the U.S., has done has indicated to me that we're willing and ready to step up and do the right thing. Which is a shame, because this is an opportunity. Not every president, for example, gets an opportunity to do something great, you know, to write their name in history. This is something historical. Not often there's a genocide, and this is an opportunity for our country, my president, or other countries to step up and do something great. And nothing has indicated to me that anybody's willing to do that. So I don't know. I don't know that I have hope right now.
Dr. Mohamed Fadlala, a medical activities manager for Medecins Sans Frontières, thank you for speaking to us from Deir al-Balah in Gaza this morning.